The following hour is brought to you by MidasResources.com. Call Midas Resources today to protect your future at 1-800-686-2237.
Sayreville is a community of families, family values. This is a community where everybody works hard for a living, pays their taxes.
Yes, that's the town in New Jersey being ripped apart by a twisted hazing incident that has canceled the football season there, and rightfully so. Hey, everybody, welcome to this version of America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Of course, we're going to talk about Ebola and other things that are plaguing us in this country, and we're going to introduce you to Andrew O'Brien. He had to testify against his mother who murdered his stepfather, but his story goes much deeper than that, a rough childhood without a doubt, and then also the fact that he went to Iraq, says he encountered ISIS along with others in 2009. Remember that conversation about ISIS was really starting to bubble up then, and his point of view on where we are in Iraq, and also what he's done to help other soldiers who have come back and are just bombarded in a lot of different directions with emotions. He started a cool thing called the Wish Project, and we'll be speaking with Andrew O'Brien next on ATN. That's where we're going to start. But this crazy hazing incident in New Jersey is more than worrisome because I mean, it's just terrible, some of the things that happened to these kids, and some of the accusations are pretty wild. They're heavily investigating it, saying that there are allegations of sexual impropriety. So what that means for some of these players, and there were arrests that were made and whatnot. And I think that Sayreville is just stunned by this, stunned by what's come out of there, and are trying to make sense of it where it makes no sense at all. It's always that surprise factor of you had no idea this was happening, that these traditional things were being carried on, but they were carried way, way over the line and back again for sure. Speaking of being carried over the line, Ebola, there is a 26-year-old Texas nurse infected with Ebola. She treated Tom Duncan. The CDC is saying there was protocol that was broken. She's in isolation. And Dr. Kent Brantley, who survived Ebola, donated blood to her in the hope that those antibodies would help her, which is the theory and has helped other people. So while she battles that out, the question becomes, were 70 other people, will anybody else who came in contact with him, healthcare-wise, end up in the same position as Nita Pham? Will that happen to them as well? And the CDC must be all over the place because they're monitoring lots of different people, those connected still to Tom Duncan, now those connected to the nurse, although really she says it's just one person, and then really the healthcare workers who were the nurses, the doctors, the attendants, all those people that were there for Tom Duncan, who were cleaning up after Tom Duncan, and they were, taking blood from him and whatnot. So what happens to those people, I think, is of particular interest because of the close proximity. In our last hour, we had Dr. Stone on, who talked about being in Liberia and said part of the problem of why it's so widespread is people were avoiding checkpoints and curfews. And when somebody became sick, they were hiding them because there is a lot of shame in this, in Ebola. And they're having problems because people that get Ebola aren't coming forward immediately. And then by the time it happens, it's much too late. Also coming up this hour, we'll check the mailbag. Once again, it is overflowing with things related to Ebola and ISIS and midterm elections even. A lot of people gearing up for the midterm elections. If you want to throw your two cents in, you can right at the top. because we are wide open. 855-266-5283. 855-266-5283. Let's go to Graham in New England. Hi, Graham.
Hey, how you doing, Kate?
Good. What's on your mind?
Well, you know, I got pretty close during the game, and I did call in late and whatnot, and the whole thing is I kind of like this banter that's going on between you and me on selecting the score. And if I were to win, you know, you had talked on, I think, one of probably your better rating programs, and it didn't have all this dread and dreary Ebola and everything else. But you had a young girl that went to space camp.
Yes.
And your programming that night was pretty diversified.
Uh-huh.
I liked it. I really did like that night. I don't even know if I got in on it, but I bet you it rated pretty high.
There you go. Hey, well, Graham, let me tell you something. Coming up later this week, we're going to have Harry Shearer on, who's the voice of so many of the characters of The Simpsons. So
oh, yeah.
All that stuff that you like, we're mixing all of that in. It just happened to be particularly a lot of Ebola stuff and whatnot this time around, but there you go.
Yeah, well, according to the latest news, too, to go light, I got another if you're a redneck joke, and it goes like this. You know you're a redneck if your form of flying or airline travel is a bouncy house. Shaped like a jet.
I'm stealing that one. That's a good one. Did you make that up? Did you look that up? That's a good one.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, I made that one up. Just that, you know, because I am sure that they have ways of tying those things down. I know I could put a half-inch manila rope on four corners of it and stake it down, and a hurricane shouldn't get rid of it.
That's great. You know you're a redneck if you're getting in one of those bouncy houses that it's where it's shaped like an airplane. Excellent, excellent. You get credit. You get extra credit for that one. Thank you. We are up against it. Appreciate it. That's funny. You know, I'm always tried on those jokes. If you heard my last ones in the last America Tonight, I did a drop a joke, you know, where I dropped some jokes in, and I thought one of my better ones was a magician was walking down the street, turned into a grocery store. Get it? Turned into a grocery store. I think when I have to say get it afterwards, I don't know if it loses its appeal. And if you missed it, I'm going to give you another drop of joke. Just went to a very emotional wedding. Even the cake was in tears. Another did you get it? You know how cakes are tiered. If I have to explain the joke, then it's probably not going
to. Need some new material, I think.
I think so, too. I don't know. I got to sort of tap out of my nephew's league and go big. I just got to go big with my jokes and come up with something else. All right, as I said, we're going to talk with Andrew O'Brien next. And there is an uplifting part to this story, for sure, because he really overcame some unbelievable things to help a lot of other soldiers in need. A lot of other soldiers struggling when they come back and trying to immerse themselves in everyday life and having a hard time of it after being, you know, day in and day out walking the line, so to speak, and trying to avoid IEDs and other things that happen when you're deployed to places like Iraq and Afghanistan. So hang with us. More to come here on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment permanent basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it. So decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
Hi, folks. Ryan McMullen here for Life Change Tea. Healthcare is a problem, whether you're for or against Obamacare. It's a mess. My question is, who do you trust? Do you want to be told what to do, or do you want to make your own decision? My opinion, preventative maintenance. Keeping your colon clean is preventative maintenance. A little exercise, a balanced diet, and drinking Life Change Tea. It tastes great, and it helps with constipation, high cholesterol, liver problems, acid reflux, and much, much more. And with the holiday season upon us, you can get some extra tea for free. Don't wait for Obama. Make your own decision. Order now. Call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Or you can log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Ridding yourself of harmful toxins is truly preventative maintenance. Getthetea.com.
It was a story that made huge headlines, and you may have heard of Michelle Williams, a.k.a. the Keller Black Widow out of Texas, and a very, very sad story. She was convicted of murdering her husband, Greg Williams, after the murder attempt to get her sons, Andrew, and his brother to help her frame her husband's ex-wife for the murder. We are pleased to welcome to the show Andrew O'Brien, who, among other things, is an Iraq war vet, a suicide survivor, the founder of the Wish Project, a public speaker. And, Andrew, thanks so much for sharing your story and coming on America Tonight.
And thank you for having me on.
So that had to be tough for you going through this whole period, the trial, everything that entailed, and then also having to testify. And you were the first person to testify in the case against your mother. Tell us what that was like, because I can't imagine many people can relate to being in your shoes.
No, it's really hard. I've had a lot of people asking that question, and it's really hard to explain. You have all kinds of emotions going through you at one time. It's just like the movies where they make you point out the who you're talking about, who you're testifying against. So I just sit there and point out my own mother. And, I mean, we didn't have the best childhood, and I'm not a big fan of my mother. But for anyone, no matter what your mother has done in your life, it's a really hard thing to go through to sit there and testify against her for murder.
Yeah. And you know, in testifying and then going through that tunnel and then ultimately the sentencing, because, you know, this was just a couple of weeks ago that your mom was sentenced, and she was sentenced to 60 years in prison for the death of her husband, which was, we have to wind back the clock to October of 2011. So, as I said, you've had to go through this for a very long period of time. And when your mother came to you and your brother and basically asked you to help, were you just astonished by that?
I was in complete shock. It's the last thing you ever expect to hear even though my mother has been this kind of person our whole life. And so it really shouldn't have been that big of a surprise, but it was, because I can't imagine. I have kids myself, and I can't imagine asking my children to do something like that. So it was, to me, the way I coped with it was thinking, oh, she's just in shock right now. She's just freaking out, but nothing changed. So, yeah, it was definitely shocking to me.
What do you mentioned that you have kids yourself. What do you tell your kids? Because that's got to be kind of tough to try to explain it to them. And eventually, if they haven't already, eventually people will ask them questions. What do you tell them?
Well, I got a 6-year-old and a 6-month-old. So the 6-month-old isn't a big issue. The 6-year-old has seen the news and seen her on TV and things like that. And I just explained to her that my mother did something very bad. My mother's never met my children. So, I just explained to her that my mother did something very bad, and she went to jail for it.
Yeah. As you said, a lot of people were asking you questions about it, and so there was a spotlight. Was it also tough dealing with a heavy media crush? Because initially there certainly was that. This is something that certainly the verdict is just something that's new in the sentencing. Was that a hard thing as well, to have that kind of that spotlight on you?
It was, because when it first started, this all started the end of 2011, like you said, and when that happened, that's when media was the hardest, and that's when media really jumped onto everything, and we had media following us places, we had them coming to our door and knocking on our front door, and it was really difficult, because you're trying to take care of, we also have a younger sister who was in the house when it happened, and she was only 4 years old, so we're trying to protect her from everything, and then we've got media coming after us, and It was a lot of stress.
Yeah. And you mentioned your sister, your 4-year-old sister. What did, after this all happened, and now, of course, your mom in prison, who is your sister with now at this point?
She's with some very close family friends that were friends of Greg's for a very long time. And Greg is her ex-husband, or not her ex-husband, but the deceased husband. And she's with them, and she's in really good hands. She's 7 years old now, and she's in school, and she's doing really well.
That's great news. I mentioned also that you're an Iraq war vet. Tell us about your service time. And, you know, all of us are watching now what's happening in Iraq, as I'm sure you are, with ISIS. And you must have some thoughts on that as well.
Oh, yeah. I was in Iraq from 2008 to 2009, and while we were there, I was in a town called Beji, and there was an oil rig there, and ISIS has taken over that oil rig. ISIS has taken over the base that we used to have, and it's hard watching all that, because you feel like you went and did all these things and did all this work just for it not to really mean anything, because it's all it's worse than it was when we got there. So it's really difficult seeing all that, but in my opinion, I'm not big on going back there. I just feel like it's never going to end. So,
right. So in your opinion, forget the whole idea of boots on the ground, because we've already deposited enough blood, sweat, and tears and lives in that situation?
Yes, I feel like it's time for us to focus on ourselves. It's time for us to be a little selfish.
Yeah. Tell me about surviving suicide and coming, what drove you to that point and coming out on the other side?
Well, a big part of that is growing up with my mother was really hard since I was a child. She was a prostitute and a stripper growing up. And so we were raised in motel rooms and trailer parks. And, at a young age, we had to watch men coming in and out of our lives, in and out of the motel room, watching her go to work at a strip club and not getting home so late. And so that had a lot to do with my suicide attempt. And then going through that childhood and then going into the Army, I went through my experiences in Iraq, where I saw some things and experienced war. And that was just the final tipping point. I got home and tried to suck it up, and it just didn't work for me. And so I ended up trying to take my own life due to my childhood and my war experiences.
Yeah. What helped you bounce back out of that?
My brother. My brother has been my stronghold since I've been a little kid. My brother was always my father figure. He always took care of us. You know, I remember this one time whenever I was 6 years old, my brother came up and cuddled up on me and covered his hands over my ears because he didn't want me to hear my mom having sexual relations with her client in the same room. So he's always been my stronghold. He helped me bounce back from that.
Yep, so he's the rock, right? And he's the, when you need somebody, he's the guy you go to.
Exactly.
Yeah. Tell us about the WISH Project.
Okay, so the WISH Project stands for Welcoming Your Soldier Home, so W-Y-S-H instead of W-I. And I started that early last year, and I started because veteran suicides are at an all-time high. And I wrote a book called Welcoming Your Soldier Home, which led to the project, and it led into me starting to do some public speeches in early 2013, and it just took off from there. My speeches have done really well, and I've probably done over 100 speeches in the past year, and I've spoken to well over 50,000 people, veterans, service members, and civilians. But it's the whole point of the WISH Project is to prevent military suicide.
Yeah, and you feel, and as you're somebody that went through that, you can relate to what so many people coming back are feeling and how they're trying, like you said, trying to resume their life, but how tough it is. And you've got to be proud of the fact of what you've been able to do with the WISH Project. And have you had people call you up or come up to you and say, thanks, man, because, you know, buddy, I was feeling really blue and I'm not so sure I was going to make it, but now I feel like I can?
Yeah, I actually just had that. I just came off a tour in September. I went to two different countries and five different states, and every place I went, I had that happen where someone in the military would come up to me and say, hey, you know, you really made me decide to go get help today, and I really felt weak, but your story really helped me. I have a lot of people come up to me with tears in their eyes because my story is a pretty rough one, and it's, you know, it's a mixture. Again, it's not just the military service, it's childhood, and what people don't know is a lot of these suicides in the military, the majority of them are because they had a rough childhood as well. So they can connect with me on both levels, childhood and military.
Yeah. What can people do that are listening to this interview to reach out to people that have come back from those war zones? Is there something that we're missing? And maybe there's something people can do to help before it gets to that desperation point. What would you say?
Biggest thing is listen without judgment, and not just listen and look down at your watch or act like you're listening, but really listen and listen to what they're saying, listen to their stories, and don't judge. Just an ear to listen and to feel like we can talk to someone without being judged or without being given opinions, because everybody wants to solve a problem, and you can't solve someone else's problem, but what you can do is help take a little pressure off of them and just hear them out. And that's not just with veterans either. That's just any civilian, any human being who's been through something rough in life, they just want someone to talk to and not be judged for it.
Wow, great place to end this and some powerful words. Andrew O'Brien, wishproject.org. You can find out more there, as Andrew said, with a Y, W-Y-S-H-project.org. Andrew, continued success and good luck with everything. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Headlines, suspensions, FCC investigations. That's Man Cow for you. Hear him here. GCN.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-297-0154. That's 800-297-0154.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
That's 800-297-0154.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black. I hugged her and she hugged back. Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in the boat? My head keeps spinning. I go to sleep and keep grinning. If this is
once again,
beginning.
We have a mailbag full of mail. If you want to throw in your 2 cents in the middle of it, you certainly can. 855-266-5283. But right now, let's check the email.
You have mail, mistress.
This one from Kenneth, who says, girl, I'll tell you what, Ebola has me shaking in my boots. The reason why is I hail from Texas, and yes, there are people trying to tell us not to worry about it, but yet we see hazmat crews down the street, and I also don't live very far from the hospital, and now you've got a nurse also fighting off Ebola thanks to her contact with a man from Liberia. And you wonder about all those other people who are being monitored and the healthcare workers as well. I think there's a lot the CDC isn't telling us, and maybe it's not because it's a nefarious thing. It's just that they don't know. Well, that's the whole thing about the variables. And, of course, it's trying to figure out what happened to the nurse, for example. They're saying breach in protocol, but they don't know what the breach is. So now they're frantically trying to trace steps and figure out what could have happened between the mask and the gloves and the double suit and all of that. And it could have been a lot of different things that happened at some point when she was treating Tom Duncan, even from somebody else's watch. So they don't know. They don't know, and it's a nightmare. It really is. I mean, she's identified, and people feel terrible. She's 26, like I said. Her name's Nina Pham, and she is somebody who, you know, has a dog, lives in an apartment. The dog, by the way, like the dog that was put to sleep in Spain, they didn't do this with the dog. They're saying he won't be killed. That's what a Dallas County judge is saying, that they met with her parents and they said the dog's important to her. Don't let anything happen to the dog. You know, if the dog has to be the boy in the plastic bubble, we're going to take care of the dog. So the dog, they moved to an undisclosed location and Dallas Animal Services is in charge. Other people are saying, hey, wait a second. This is Ebola we're talking about. Who knows if the dog has Ebola and could spread Ebola? And then when we hear from the CDC, oh, it's only bodily functions that, you know, bodily fluids, rather, where you can get Ebola. Now there are other doctors saying, well, that's not true because there's still the capacity to spread it by air. It depends on what you're talking about as far as spreading it by air. Okay, here's a couple more on Ebola. This one from John, who says, Kate, you know me, I email the show all the time. The CDC seems to me like they're really scrambling around trying to explain, especially the nurse situation, since they were the ones with the guidelines. They supposedly followed the guidelines. They're saying they broke protocol, but good luck trying to figure out what that is. It shows you just how many things can happen in a chain of events. I really don't believe we're equipped to handle Ebola, because there is no definite, and we're looking for those experimental drugs. Well, yeah, the sooner somebody has it and they know, the better chances they are, depending on their immune system. Now, in the case of this nurse, she got the blood transfusion from Dr. Kent Brantley, which is awesome because the antibodies in the blood, which have helped a couple of other people. So no ZMAP, but boy, that is heavily in demand, the ZMAP, for sure. And then you see what's happening in Liberia, and they're building more clinics, and they're working on blood samples, and they're trying to help the people, and the people are freaked out. They're hiding. They're running away. And this is also part of the problem they're dealing with, trying to track it and make sure that they don't lose track of people in the meantime. All right, one more, and that's it. And this one from Thomas, who says, I think more people have gotten the wake-up call that it's up to you to decide for yourself how you feel about Ebola, whether it's transferred in the air or just through bodily fluids, whether you think the CDC is doing everything it can or they don't know all the things that could possibly happen. And it seems to me as though there's a lot of head butting going on when it comes to the government, Kate. What do you think? Oh, of course. Because the other thing that you have to think about is all of this hazmat waste stuff now that's coming out of Texas, for example. What do they do with all that? You know, in West Africa, boom, immediately burn the bodies, do all that, get rid of everything, burning things. And in hospitals, they have a certain way to get rid of things that are infected, whether it's equipment or protective stuff or whatever it is. They turn it over to hazardous waste companies and then they incinerate it or chemically sterilize it. So I'm suppose this is what has to happen here, but we're talking about huge amounts of waste for Ebola patients. And certainly you got to be careful with what's going on with this waste, because we see what happened now with this nurse. So one little thing that happens where something escapes, some piece of waste or something else, that could be just deadly to whoever might come across it. I think an incinerator. I mean, that's really what they need, an incinerator to just boom at the hospital. You're done with it. But how many U.S. hospitals have incinerators? They're talking about building four contaminant labs in the U.S., contamination labs where they can get rid of that kind of stuff. But that's four out of how many states and how many places. And it's definitely not in Dallas. They don't have that. And when you look at Ebola waste that was getting rid of it, from the first patient diagnosed with it and now more, that's another thing they're going to have to come up with, is how are they disposing of it as safely as possible. All right, let's move on to something else. This one is from King Me. King Me says, "Hi, Kate. I'll tell you what, have you been watching the market lately? Oh, it's gloomy. Doom and gloom. Nothing but a plummet. I think you're right when you say diversify. I believe, as I've listened to you over the last 3 years, you say constantly not to put your eggs in one basket. And I've heard your financial guy on. He's given some pretty interesting advice. And he says a similar thing." Well, because you can see what can happen. You know, it's interesting, too, because if you have a ton of money, it's easy then to take something's on the rise, then you just plop a play on some kind of stock. And that's what it is. That's why I say it's like at the craps table, because you're like putting it on black for however long, and then poof, you sell it off. And it's fine because you have a serious chunk of extra coin. But for us mere mortals, that, you know, that's your nest egg you're messing with. But that's also these basket of stocks, what is part of a portfolio, especially if you have a 401k. And sure, because of the Ebola thing, sell-offs, loss in confidence, you're seeing a really big dip in the market. And, you know, the Dow Jones lost 1.4%. The Standard & Poor's index was down 31.39, or I guess that would be 1.7%. The NASDAQ tumbled too. 62.58 points, so not good. The volatility indexes seems to be like off the charts. And then, so some investors are certainly taking a drubbing. And I think the Ebola virus, the concerns over that, global economy, that's what's hitting it. Negative news really tanks things on the markets. Okay, here's one from Adam who says, "Kate, I haven't spoken to you in a long time. I wanted to quickly email you and get your take on what you think this year about who possibly could be in the Super Bowl." Well, that crystal ball that I smashed because I was so good at making these predictions. You know, if at the beginning of the season, looking at the teams, I would say, yeah, Seattle and Denver could surprise everyone and be right back in that situation. But there's a couple teams that could second there. The NFC is looking better, but does that mean the Eagles or the Cowboys go all the way through the NFC? No. At this point, we're not even officially halfway through the season. And if you ask me my guess, and I did have a guess in the beginning of the year, I would have said what I just said, Seattle and Denver, because they look so loaded. And even when they lost players, they replaced them with equally strong players. But, you know, it's football. Any given Sunday, something can happen. We've seen it this year. There's been some volatility in a different direction when it comes to football. And here's one last one. And this one is from Joe, who says, "Kate, we listen to you up here in the Great Northwest. Did you see the story about the Oregon woman, the first lady, who bought land for pot growers? It was a very crazy story. She bought land for marijuana back in the late 90s, and now there are some other things, some other allegations that are flying around her, and she had to issue a statement about it and says it wasn't a proud period for her." Well, the fiancé of the Oregon governor, that makes it tough for him, they jointly bought land that was going to be used for an illegal marijuana growing up in the 90s. They bought the property for $245,000 and with another man using $15,000 in a down payment. And they were talking about doing the pot thing, and I guess that story broke. Thanks. Stay with us.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at LegalShield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, LegalShield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to LegalShield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let LegalShield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Summertime is save big time at Herbal Healer Academy. Long-term customers know summer is the time to stock up at herbalhealer.com. And for new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Log on for summer specials, including all sizes of colloidal silver, colloidal minerals, and intestinal freedom on sale. Choose from Herbal Healer's great variety of weight loss products like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia, and Metabolic Complex and Pro-Metabolic, all on sale now. Also, the anti-parasite Intestinal Freedom and Wormwood Plus Complex, plus Stevia Liquid Sweetener and the Super Enzymes, all on sale for summer at herbalhealer.com. As always, we offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on now to herbalhealer.com and look for summer specials to save big with our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy.
Virtually anyone can hack your cell phone and track your calls, your texts, your emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal. Stay one step ahead of hackers and Big Brother with a Blockit Pocket, a custom-made pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for your cell phone. For free shipping to the Lower 48, visit BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Next to water and food, you need a safe, storable fuel supply for your preparedness needs. Spare Fuel is the answer. Spare Fuel can be used in any gas-powered vehicle or generator. Spare Fuel is perfect for any unforeseen out-of-gas emergencies. Unlike gasoline, Spare Fuel is safe to store with your other supplies, and it can be stored for many years. Go to GetSpareFuel.com for special pricing. That's GetSpareFuel.com.
Topping, we can count. How about this crazy story? An American Airlines flight had to make an emergency landing in San Francisco at the airport there after a problem with an air duct caused some cabin panels to buckle. There were people sitting right there, 184 passengers, six crew people, safe. That's the good news. But the air duct was inoperable, and a few of the panels inside the plane were loose. They just came loose. And they say they considered it an emergency landing because it was an unscheduled landing. The plane was en route from San Francisco to Dallas when it had to make a U-turn. And they say this plane, of course, this Boeing 757, is out of service until they can figure out what needs to be done to fix it. I don't care who you are. You're on an airplane and there's loose panels. You are freaked. Wait, look, it looks like the panels are tearing off the plane, ma'am, where you're sitting. Ooh, yeah. That's enough to make you worry about what's happening next. So I think a lot of the people were concerned that, hey, is there something else going on in the plane? And, you know, that's why they made that U-turn and put it down as fast as they could. This is a sad story, but yet there's a silver lining in this, I suppose. 43-year-old Jason Fields, guy from Louisiana, put his 11-month-old daughter, Betty Jean Kelly, at the head of his bed while he sat on the edge of the bed with a laptop. He had a medical history, I guess, at some point from, you know, with heart problems, and he collapsed from what they think was cardiac arrest. He fell backward where he was sitting on the bed onto the 11-month-old infant, trapping the infant under his body. So there was, I mean, no indication he tried to move off his daughter. That's why they believe he was just dead instantly. And after a couple of days, the somebody found him. After a couple of days, they found the baby. And you know, how shocking is that? You know, relatives came by, and then they realized, you know, what had happened. And the baby was underneath, wedged underneath a decomposing body, face up, saturated in body fluid, unable to move. But, you know, again, the good news is that the baby was dehydrated and had some blisters and some things, that kind of stuff, but was okay. Airlifted to Shreveport, and immediately the aunt's there, and the hospital said, it's great news, the baby survived, it's all fine. It's sad news, incredibly sad news, but good news that that infant was able to survive after the father collapsed on the daughter. Man, of all the stories, and you know, this is life, right? Terrible things happen every single day to lots of different people, but I've never heard a story, quite like that, I have to say. And then finally, how about this one? The there was a quake, 7.4, never good, that was in El Salvador, actually shook across the Pacific coast of Central America on Tuesday. There was some damage, and it killed at least one person in El Salvador. The quake was pretty deep. It was close to the shoreline, though, and they say initially they issued a tsunami warning for all the coastal areas, and they said the quake was felt throughout the country. Then they later downgraded it to a tsunami alert. The mayor of a place called San Miguel tweeted some photos that showed some damage to a local hospital and some others, and crews responded to 12 collapsed homes. But it looks like one death so far. A woman was killed when an electrical utility pole fell on her, but they haven't reported anything else, so they may have dodged some real trouble by where that earthquake hit, because anytime you say seven, that is always big. All right, let's go to Dan in the great state of Texas. Hey, Dan, how are you?
I'm just fine, darling. 1 week ago last night, I called the stock market. I told, remember I told you
yeah.
it was going to crash, and I told you there would only be probably one day that it would survive, and that's because Janet Yellen would throw all kinds of money in and bring it back. Well, she'll do the same thing tomorrow, but that's just more people can get out. Now, you remember seeing the movie The Andromeda Strain?
Yes.
Okay, that's the only way we're going to be able to treat this Ebola, and we have got to start calling our congressmen and senators to make this man stop all flights coming in from Africa. This guy is going to kill us if he keeps this up.
Yeah, I think we need to stop the flights, too. A lot of people disagree.
We've got Ebola people out there carrying the Ebola as I speak that's going to be popping up over the next 3 or 4 months. And another thing, I heard on Roger Hitchcock this, tonight that on the Mexican border, there is busloads of Mexicans being transferred from Mexico through the United States, taken to Chicago, to Ohio, all the places where we're going to have the upcoming election. They're giving clothes, they're giving money, they go into this one little place down there and they're cashing their $100 bills and buying their stuff for the trip, blah, blah, blah. What it's all about, I don't understand, other than the fact that these guys are the voting age. They're in their 20s to 30s. And they're doing 4 trips a day, and they're going to all of the places where the Democrats are getting ready to get hammered.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. It's just, I mean, it is unbelievably scary how unguarded we are in these areas.
It's all because of Obama. He wants open borders, Kate. He's trying to get this open borders thing so he can do the amnesty. And if he has to shut down the flights from Africa, that means he has to protect the border between us and Mexico. 1,800 miles has to be protected. I told you last night. We've got to get the National Guard out there. We've got to get the U.S. Army out there. Anybody trying to come across, you tell them, stop or we will shoot. No more. We're going to arrest you and hold you and give you a little time to appear. Stop or we will shoot. Because that Ebola could be coming in through ISIS or anybody that's been infected. Even Africans that's trying to get out of Liberia, Sierra Leone. What's the other one?
Guinea has two.
You're right, Guinea, and then also the one with all the oil. Any of those places. Plus, they just had a guy reported with it in Macedonia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're talking a worldwide possible pandemic here. We could be seeing the beginning of the end right here in America, and we've got to get on this. And the Andromeda strain routine that I told you about is the only way, because it is airborne. She breathed the air that he had breathed out, and it stays in the air. A sneeze will stay in the air for 20 minutes. You know that.
Yeah. No,
okay,
I agree with that.
That's all for me.
All right, Dan, thanks. I agree with that. I agree with what Dan's saying, that we can't be so lackadaisical about it. I mean, it doesn't mean that we have to be crazy beyond all belief and start panic, but I don't understand the flight thing. I've said this from the beginning. I've talked to enough people about this, Democrats and Republicans, who agree, who think, well, look what British Airways did. If we wanted to look at what somebody else is doing, look what some other countries are doing. And the same thing in Africa as well, because they can't afford to have the spread in Kenya, Nairobi, all those places, because they know they're sitting ducks. What are you going to do? And we're sitting ducks if we allow that. And here's the thing, I said this. What would it be like if I were in Liberia and I had a young child and we were scared to death that people around us were dying and some were surviving, but we know we were exposed? Would I immediately check myself into the clinic there with the two doctors for 500 people or whatever? Or would I say, man, I got relatives in the U.S. I've got to get out. They're telling me to get out. I'm going to get out and we won't catch this. We'll get out. I really have to say, I would think flight, especially if I have a child. I got to be safe. I got to try to get out. And that's what's happening. We had Dr. Stone on who talked about it, that there is some real stigmatism in Africa, of course, to Ebola. So you have people running, fleeing, who are holding it, who are incubating it, and they're getting around the checkpoints. And where are they going once they're outside of those checkpoints? Any thoughts on the show, you can always send them to me, americatonight.net.
Worse! How can they get any worse? Take a look around you, Ellen. We're at the threshold of hell!
See me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Well, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can give us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson. And it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
Well, I hope not. Now get your supplies organized and meet me down to the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.